237.
Good morning. Welcome to Shattering Myths, where we expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news this morning, I'll try to explain why these things are happening. Then, during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through His Torah, which means teaching, not law, and by way of His covenant. If you are rational, I promise this will be the best part of today's program. Our number, if you wish to question, criticize, affirm, or just engage in this conversation, is 877-300-7645. Received a letter this morning in my email pertaining to the show that I thought I would share. I'm going to leave the writer anonymous because I don't know if they would be comfortable with me sharing their name, but he says, I have listened to every show available on the Genesis Network, and I hope that they will keep the show for a long time. It will take a long time to get through all of your material. Well, that's almost funny. I read Prophet of Doom twice some 6 years ago and always wondered if Muslims have been able to get to you. Obviously not. Yah will protect you when you're doing his will. I'm currently midway through questioning Paul, and I'm blown away. I never could understand so much and thought it was my own fault, and now I see that it is because it is all a pack of lies. I would really enjoy hearing you debate an evangelical dispensationalist and see him squirm. Please don't stop giving. Thank you. Interesting here is that the reason that I'm even doing this show in the first place is because of Tea with Terrorists and then Prophet of Doom. Tea with Terrorists was the first book I wrote on Islam. It's a novelized account of my meeting with Al-Qaeda. And it presents a three-step plan for ending the threat of Islamic terrorism in less than 90 days. After that book, I began to do a number of talk radio programs, which is really the intent of the book. I wanted to educate America. I knew George W. Bush personally, and I knew what he was going to do after 9/11, and I knew that it was going to be a disaster for America. And I wanted a platform to be able to tell America that this is a winless war. And so when everybody else was rallying around the president as he invaded two different countries and flew their flags and was into patriotism and how wonderful a job these soldiers were doing protecting American liberties, I was telling America exactly the opposite, that this was a disaster, that this was suicidal, that this was a winless war, that it was going to mimic all the characteristics we witnessed in Vietnam, that we were sending men to die for nothing, that when we left, we would leave a situation worse than we found it. All of those things came true and more. And as I was in that process of sharing based upon having met with Al-Qaeda, having found out why, in fact, that they're killing, having determined that Al-Qaeda has not corrupted their religion. The lies of Giuliani and other politicians who all said that the Islamic terrorists have corrupted their religion were lying to you. The terrorists were actually telling you the truth. It is their religion that has corrupted them. So subsequently, I wrote Prophet of Doom, which is the most comprehensive, the most chronological, the best documented, the most contextual presentation of Islam's five earliest sources ever written. It takes the Quran and puts it into the context of Muhammad's life by using the Islamic hadith, and it proves that Muhammad was among the most repulsive men who ever lived. He was a ruthless terrorist. He was a sexual pervert. He was a slave trader. He was a kidnapper. He was a mass murderer. He is the least likely person, perhaps in all of human history, for God, as I know him, to use as a messenger. And so after writing that book, I did another 2,000 hours of talk radio shows across the country as a guest. And it is really because of that that I'm here today. It is because of the research, for making it available to the world, not charging anyone for it, that this program has grown out of that. Now, it is true that several years ago, I stopped doing radio shows on Islam, and I stopped for a lot of reasons, one of which I've shared previously on this program, but for the most part, I'd done my job. You know, after then about 3,000 hours of talk radio programs, after millions of people had read Prophet of Doom online, I had done the job I had been asked to do. There was really nothing more to do. And at that point, I began devoting all of my time to studying Yah's testimony, particularly his Torah, prophets, and Psalms, reading the oldest manuscripts, analyzing them, and then sharing what they revealed, because it was the by far the most extraordinary voyage of discovery I have ever encountered. And so I began to write those books after I wrote the first six drafts of Yahya, which, again, millions have read around the world. I wrote a book called Questioning Paul, which is absolutely mind-blowing. It's not because I'm anybody special. I don't claim to be special at all. It's because it simply presents the evidence in a way that opens people's eyes. If you're open-minded, if you are rational, if you read that book, I guarantee you, you will come to hate Paul. You will, if you are Christian, but you are open-minded and rational, you will leave the religion. The proof is absolutely overwhelming. It is undeniable. And the only source of evidence that I use, I only use one source of evidence, Paul's own words. That's how I wrote Prophet of Doom. Prophet of Doom doesn't use extraneous evidence, simply presents Muhammad's own words and holds his words against him. Same thing is true with Questioning Paul. His letters are a pack of lies. One of the things that is interesting about this letter, and one of the reasons I shared it at the beginning of this program, is because he ends it in a unique way. He says, please don't stop giving. Now, I'm going to tell you, again, I'm nobody special. Do not want a pat on the back. Not looking for a pat on the back. I can absolutely promise you that for every moment I spend studying Yah's testimony and sharing it, I gain much more out of it than anybody else does. So this is not about me making any sacrifice. I'm not providing a service. It's strictly, I do this because it is the most fun thing I've ever done in my life. I love it. I have fun at it. But unlike those who claim to speak for God and don't, and who have their hand out and their collection plate out and ask you to send them money, I'm exactly the opposite of that. I have never received a donation. Anytime one is offered, I turn it down. There is nothing to contribute to here. This message is free. You can listen to it. You can consider it. You can reject it. You can embrace it. I'm going to share with you what Yah shares, and it's yours to do with as you choose. Now, you might wonder why, if that is the purpose of the program, if that's the thing that provides the most enjoyment, enlightenment, that we would begin the first half of the program on the news, and we're about to switch to the news now. And that is because I have learned, after studying Yah's testimony, that there is a requirement, a prerequisite, if you will, for participating in the covenant. It's to walk away from your country. It's to cease being political and patriotic. It's to walk away from all things Babel, corruptive. Yah goes to great lengths to describe Babel, which is Babylon, as the spring source, if you will, of religion and politics. You have to walk away from religion and politics and military schemes if you're going to engage in a relationship with God. So I spend the first half of each day's program, the first hour, focusing on the news because I want listeners to have a better appreciation of why it is a good idea, beyond the fact that God asked us to do it. Why it is a good idea to distance yourself from religion, from all of them, from politics, from no matter what party it is that you previously have supported, from being patriotic, from being someone who supports your military. Now on to the news to accomplish this very task. This from Reuters. Islamist militants armed with rocket-propelled grenades and automatic weapons fought their way into one of Pakistan's largest air bases on Thursday, the Air Force said, in a brazen challenge to the nuclear-armed country's powerful military. Now, why would I pick this story? You know, Muslims are acting badly all around the world. 99% of terrorist acts around the world are perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims. This wasn't even a terrorist act. These are when armed men in a militia attack an army position is considered a guerrilla tactic. Well, here's the problem. When America invaded Afghanistan, one of the things that I told everyone who would listen on, you know, now thousands of radio shows, is that this mission was suicidal. That not only did Afghanistan have absolutely nothing to do with 9/11. Afghanistan had nothing to do with 9/11. We ought not have gone there in retribution. But beyond that, by invading Afghanistan, not only would it become another Vietnam and therefore counterproductive for America, if we achieved our goal, what we were going to do is push the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, the most fundamentalist Muslims, out of Afghanistan into Pakistan, which was a nuclear country. To push the fundamentalist Muslims out of a rock pile into a nuclear-armed country so that they could undermine it was suicidal. There was no way to win, and there was every way to lose. And that is precisely what has happened. It is what is continuing to happen. Also, the reason that these Islamist militants are armed is because we armed them. The reason they have rocket-propelled grenades, the reason they have automatic weapons is because we gave them to them. It's the same thing that's happening in Syria now. We armed them. If you're an American taxpayer, you paid for those weapons. If you're an American taxpayer, and the story that I shared yesterday about the Fatah members in the so-called West Bank that blew off the heads of women and children, 12 of them on the road to Emmanuel. You paid for those guns. You bought those bullets. The same thing is true here. We gave the Taliban and Al-Qaeda $5 billion worth of weapons, including rocket-propelled grenades, including missiles. We gave them to them. And now as we run our caravans, which are not protected by the American military, through Pakistan, they are routinely attacked and the weapons are confiscated. We're arming our own enemy. We'll return to the rest of this story and another sad story out of Afghanistan after the break. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. If you wish to engage in this portion of the conversation, 877-300-76. 45. To the news segment of Shattering Myths this morning, where we will continue to expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, military and economic schemes. Now, one of the things that is unusual here, this article began by saying Islamist militants. Islamist militants. We're so accustomed to hearing it, we don't even process that anymore, do we? Islamist militants. How often do you hear the term Christian militants? How often do you hear the term Buddhist militants? How often do you hear the term free enterprise militants? How often do you hear the term Boy Scout militants? Islamist militants. How often do you hear Sheikh militants? How often do you hear Hindu militants? How often do you hear Mormon militants? How often do you hear Greek Orthodox or Roman Catholic militants? Now, I'm telling you that there were times when most religions have produced militants. But Islam has never been without militants. Jihad, as we read two programs ago, as I shared directly from the Islamic sources, is the highest calling in Islam. To kill on behalf of Allah. To fight on behalf of Allah. To use full force of weaponry on behalf of Allah. To declare war on all mankind on behalf of Islam and Allah is the highest calling in Islam. And any Muslim who does not engage in jihad according to the Quran is a hypocrite. A peaceful Muslim ceases to be a Muslim according to Allah, and invoking the order of the fourth surah, in the ninth surah, Allah said, because those peaceful Muslims cease to be Muslims and are now hypocrites, good jihadist Muslims are ordered to kill them so that Allah can torture them in the hottest places of his hell. That is why Islamist and militant have become redundant, have become synonymous. They kill because their religion orders them to kill. They kill because they are following Muhammad's example. Well, it is possible to be a good person and a bad Muslim. It is impossible to be a good Muslim and a good person. All good Muslims, defined as those Muslims who follow Muhammad's example, who aligned their lives with the teachings of the Quran, all Muslims who are good Muslims by the Quran and Muhammad's definition, are bad people. They're all terrorists. This attack was repelled, and only one aircraft was damaged, said an Air Force spokesman, adding that the Minhas Air Base at Karma in central Punjab province did not actually house nuclear weapons. Now, it is a Muslim spokesperson, and therefore we know that even if it did, he would lie. The assault cast doubts over official assertions that military operations had severely weakened the militants, waging a violent campaign to topple the U.S.-backed government and imposed strict Islamic rule. Here's the reality. The U.S. is providing the funds that keeps Pakistan's government afloat, and yet the Taliban, which attacked the government, is controlled by the government. The Taliban was created by the Pakistani government for the express purpose of occupying and terrorizing Afghanistan so that it could control Afghanistan. And the reason that Pakistan wanted to control Afghanistan was because of the oil and gas reserves in the Caspian Sea. They realized that the most expedient way to get the oil and gas to a free water port was to build a pipeline down Western Afghanistan through Pakistan and then to the sea. And so the Taliban was created for the express purpose of controlling Western Afghanistan. That's why their headquarters was in Kandahar, for the express purpose of enriching the Pakistanis by building a pipeline for the Caspian Sea oil reserves through Afghanistan and then through Pakistan. So this notion that the United States is spending billions of dollars propping up an incredibly corrupt government in Pakistan so that it can fight as allies against the Taliban is absolutely idiotic. It shows a complete lack of understanding and a complete ignorance. Let me share with you added proof. Those who know of what's called Charlie Wilson's War, those who know of Zbigniew Brzezinski's letter to Jimmy Carter back in the 80s, late 70s, where Zbigniew Brzezinski said, we can give the Soviet Union a taste of what they gave us in Vietnam, and we can, by proxy, fight them in Afghanistan, went to the Pakistani government and offered to, through the Pakistani government, to arm and equip the Taliban to fight the Soviets. We had to go to the Pakistani government to accomplish this. This is Yana. Shattering Myths will return after the break. To Shattering Myths, where we are continuing to expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, with military and economic schemes. The last line of the last sentence that I shared with you said that the assault cast doubts over official assertions that military operations had severely weakened militants, waging a violent campaign to topple the U.S.-backed government and imposed strict Islamic law. The first three quarters of that I've already answered for you, which is that the government that America is backing is the sponsor of the Taliban. The reason that America stopped sharing intelligence with the Pakistani government is that when America would say, this is where we're going to go, next, this will be our next raid, when we shared that intelligence, the Pakistani government brought it directly to the attention of the Taliban. You tell the Pakistani government tells the Taliban is there waiting. And it happens so often that we decided that probably shouldn't do that anymore. Well, the reality is, as I shared, the Taliban is part of the Pakistani government, just like the U.S. Marine Corps is part of the U.S. government. It's the end of that statement, though, that I'd like to address, that the Taliban wishes to impose strict Islamic law. Well, all Islamic law is strict. There's the nature of Islamic law. It's the most repressive legal system ever devised by humankind. Every country that is under Islamic law is impoverished. There's no freedom of expression. There's no freedom of movement. It is resolutely sexist. Women have no rights. It is completely unjust. There is poverty. There is anguish. There is no hope. It is the most absurd legal system in the world, because that legal system is based entirely on Muhammad's words and deeds. If you want to know about Muhammad's words and deeds, read Prophet of Doom. He was the most repulsive man who ever lived. Under Sharia law, it is the rape victim who goes to jail, not the rapist. And Islamic law, it's not the murderer who goes to jail. It is a repulsive system. Security forces said that they opened fire on the militia when they the militants strapped with suicide bombing vests approached the aircraft hangars, prompting other militants to fire rocket-propelled grenades from outside the base's walls. Suicide bombing is virtually an exclusive of Islam. It wasn't always that way. The kamikazes of World War II were suicide bombers. When you have a suicide mission, as someone agrees to the suicide mission, that means that they are so polluted with propaganda, that they are so infused with religious poison, that they themselves have lost the ability to reason. So someone who will volunteer to be a religious suicide bomber is someone who, with whom there is no hope of ever approaching with evidence and reason to convey that there are choices. There really is a God, and he does not want you to do this. That person is way too far gone. But think of it for a moment. The only reason that a Islamic militant would strap a suicide vest to themselves to in this case, take out an airplane is because some imam, an Islamic prayer leader, thought that it would be a grand idea to beguile this child, this young person, into telling them that if they kill themselves in this manner, that they'll go directly to Allah's paradise, where they'll be given multiple virgins. It is disgusting. Sadly, today, two more U.S. soldiers were shot and killed. Yesterday, they were shot down in a helicopter. Seven died in a helicopter. In fact, the Taliban announced that it had shot down the helicopter many hours before the American military even revealed that the helicopter had been lost. Today's killings are of the most common means today. They were shot by the very Afghan policemen that America was arming. They were killed with American bullets. They were killed with American guns. They were killed by men who had been paid by America. The American taxpayer paid, trained, armed, and provided the bullets that were used to kill two American soldiers. It is something that America has done for a very long time. We armed the Soviet Union in World War II, and they killed via proxy over 50,000 Americans in Vietnam. We armed Mao Zedong in World War II, and he managed to kill some 30,000 U.S. soldiers in Korea. Only 5 years later, the United States was allied with, provided chemical weapons to, and otherwise treated as an ally, arming Saddam Hussein, only to subject American boys to the very weapons that we had provided him. It is something we do with reckless abandon. We're doing it now in Afghanistan. We did it in Iraq. We provide the weapons that are turned against us. Never is it more prevalent than it is in Afghanistan. And yet, how many times have you read in mainstream media accounts or listened in mainstream media, electronic media, the television and radio, the commentator telling you that these U.S. soldiers were shot dead by American weapons, that they carry American bullets in their bodies? Well, that is what happened here. For those who think that it is patriotic, that it is wise, that it is noble, that it is heroic, that it is good that we stay in Afghanistan, I have news for you. If we had left, these two soldiers would still be alive. If we had left, the seven that were killed yesterday would still be alive. The fact they are dead has done nothing to advance the cause of anything that is good, moral, or just. They died for nothing. Our country sent them there to die for nothing. They were killed, all of them, by American weapons. We created, aided, and abetted the Taliban. By creating them, yes, they already existed vis-a-vis the Pakistani government, but had America not provided the weaponry for them, the money for them, they would have long since vanished. The Taliban and Al-Qaeda are products of the United States malfeasance, of our stupidity. And now the very enemy that we ourselves created and armed are killing American soldiers, and our government is trying to celebrate it as if these soldiers are doing something heroic. No. It's murder, really. Premeditated. By our own government. And sometime, somewhere along the way, I hope Americans wake up to this reality. Because we're seeing it now play out all over again in Syria, where America is now providing arms to the same militants that are blowing themselves up and killing countless civilians in Iraq, going back and forth across the border with the very weapons that we have provided. This notion that weapons bring peace is absurd. America is the largest weapons merchant in the world, and what weapons do is kill. That's all that weapons are designed to do, is kill. Particularly in the Middle East, where America has provided 24 times more weapons to Israel's enemies, who we claim is our ally, than we have to Israel. We have done some horrible things, and we're going to be held accountable for them. One of the things that I want to leave you with in this particular issue is that when we invaded Iraq and Afghanistan, it's not just that 10,000 Americans lost their lives and 70,000 Americans came home in pieces. We ought not just look at it from the fact that we squandered $4 trillion and our prestige. 900,000 Iraqis and Afghanis are dead because of our invasion. Nearly 1 million people lost their lives. This war that we thought was so cool that we could engage the Soviet Union in a taste of what we experienced in Vietnam by arming and abetting the Taliban caused a civil war that led to the deaths of 2 million Afghanis. And ultimately, it was the catalyst that led directly to 9/11 and the death of 3,000 Americans. Every act has a consequence. And when we go through life, so many of us ignorant of what is happening, what the real issues are, when we are unaware of who the enemy is, why they want to kill us, what the consequence is of attacking them with bullets and bombs as opposed to exposing them, wielding words effectively, when the vast preponderance of people are too apathetic to listen, to learn, to show any amount of good judgment, of character, to be willing to stand up, because it isn't popular not to be patriotic. It isn't popular not to be political. It isn't popular not to be religious. Until and unless we can get more people who are willing to stand up against the crowd and say, no, you're all going in the wrong direction, you're making things worse, not better, then things will continue to get worse at an ever-escalating rate. There was a man. I don't think he's a very good man, but I think what he did was extraordinarily good, who stood up against the United States and exposed its lies. His name was Julian Assange. He was the founder of WikiLeaks. Ecuador today or yesterday granted him asylum. He has been holding up in the Ecuadorian consulate in the UK. The reason that Ecuador granted Mr. Assange asylum is they know that the reason that he is wanted now is because he exposed and insulted the United States. And to a large degree, even the UK. One of the cables that Assange released was the cable whereby the UK, talking amongst its senior political advisors, said that, yes, they recognized that George W. Bush's announcement in his State of the Union address, where he claimed that the reason we needed to invade Iraq was because he had bought tons of yellowcake uranium from Nigeria, and the smoking gun was going to be a nuclear blast, that the UK had already investigated that story and had shown it to be false, that the story originated in the UK. The UK investigated the story, found it to be false. The CIA had reported to the president, had pulled it out of previous speeches, and had informed George W. Bush that it was a lie, that it was groundless, that it was untrue. And so there's a cable that WikiLeaks released of the Brits talking about the fact that America had committed to invade Iraq based upon a lie, and now England had committed to support the United States in its invasion, knowing that it was a lie. And that's the reason that both of these countries hate and want to arrest Julian Assange, is because he had the courage and good sense to expose them. Hello and welcome back to Shattering Myths. In the last 6 minutes of our new segment, we're going to do something with considerable fear and trepidation, and that is I'm going to bring Nick back into the program. Nick, for those who listened during the first week, wanted to talk about the idea that Muhammad wasn't a pedophile, even though he was 53 years old when he began to have sex with a 9-year-old girl, which is textbook pedophilia. But nonetheless, he has called several times, and Scott, my beloved producer, and I have agreed to give Nick 2 minutes to make his case on behalf of Islam, and then I'll use the last 4 minutes of this segment to speak about whatever point that he has raised. So with that said, Nick, you've got the floor for the next 2 minutes.
Good morning. Well, the first point is about Afghanistan, and I know that you feel that we should get out from over there and leave them. My concern is that if we will get out from over there, those who did help out the Americans or did support them will be slaughtered or killed by their own, the Taliban or whoever was there. And if others will see this happening, they will never assist American army in anything in the future. And the other point, well, it was about the mistranslation or not. But before I get to it, what is Tabari or Ishad or Bukhari, that those references that you have on your Prophet of Doom website? Because I asked the guy over there, the one I'm having the conversation with, the Islamist on the website, and he didn't respond, and I don't know what is, where those are books, I understand, and I don't, the verses that you're taking those out from, those, what are those? Tabari.
Okay, you ready for me to answer, Nick?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, all right. First of all, you are absolutely right. And your first point, not if, but when America gets out of Afghanistan, those Afghanis, of which there are very few, who decided that they would aid and abet America, work on behalf of America, relatively few, I should say, will be slaughtered by the Taliban. That's exactly what happened in Vietnam. And so most Afghanis are not helping the United States. Most Afghanis are opposed to the United States because they recognize that if they help the United States, that when the United States leaves, and the United States will leave, that the Taliban will come in and it will seek retribution against those who aided and abetted the enemy. It is why we ought not have invaded. Not only will we leave Afghanistan in such a position as if it were as we had never been there, but many, many people are going to die as a result of our invasion. And we can't stay there forever. If we were to put in 1 million troops and we were to stay there for 100 years, it wouldn't change. When we leave, it's going to go right back to the Taliban because it's their Taliban. It is fundamentalist Muslims who are in control of Afghanistan, even while we are occupying the country. The second question that you raised is a good question. It's a valid question. What is Kabadi? What is Ishaq? What is Bukhari? What is Muslim? You're familiar with the Quran, but not those other terms. There are five sources that were written about the formation of Islam within 250 years of Muhammad's death. Only five. All five come from exactly the same source. All five were transmitted in exactly the same way. They are all hadith. The Quran itself is hadith. It was communicated allegedly by revelation to Muhammad. Muhammad was the one who spoke it, and it was retained by Muslims ear to mouth by hearsay for generations before it was written down. A hadith is an oral report from Muhammad. The Quran itself is nothing more than an oral report from Muhammad. These five sources are all that were written, and they were all compiled within 200 to 250 years of Muhammad's death. The first is Ishaq's Sirah. Sirah means biography. Ishaq was the first to compile the hadith regarding Muhammad and to put them into chronological order so that there would be a biography of Muhammad. The reason that's essential is because the Quran constantly tells Muslims to follow Muhammad's example and to follow his orders. Without the Sirah, that would be impossible. Tabari wrote the first comprehensive history of Islam using exactly the same hadith collections. And Tabari and Bukhari are chronological, not chronological, they are by topic arrangements of these same hadith. This is Shattering Myths. We'll return after the break.
I've seen the longevity products work for many others, and so I bought a bunch of them, started using them, had a little bit of results, but I wasn't following the regimen every day.